morning, Haven Church. All right, awesome. You guys are ready to go. So, we missed church last Sunday. Did you guys miss being here? I miss being here. So because of that, we're going to have church twice today. It'd be kind of cool if there was like snow days for church. You got to make it up. Sorry, longer summer. That's all right. Now, sorry, when you miss church, you miss church, you know, so we don't repeat it, you know. But so we're going to just lift up our voices today, and we're gonna praise God, going to bring it in. You know, this morning I was thinking about, you know, how worship is to me. To me, you know, like when I hear worship songs on the radio and stuff like that, I always think about the best part of the song to me is when the crowd starts singing and you can hear them on that recording. That's when worship really connects me personally. So let's all stand up. You know, I think I'm going to start off a little different this morning. So, I think we all know this song, and we're all going to sing it together, just with our voices, connect our hearts together. How great thou art, guys. You guys know it. We don't need words for this. Just sing it. Sing it along, Fred. Sing it along. You got it, man. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
Thank you. Oh,
God, we're just so excited to be here today in your presence, Lord. Just want to open our hearts and our minds and just let your spirit flow through us today, Lord, in your mighty house. Amen.
You can be seated.
Oops. Sorry. I threw my mic down.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody today?
Good.
Good, good. Chris is good. That's good. All right, well, I've got a couple announcements for everyone this morning. First of all, if you are visiting with us today, we are very glad to have you. Welcome to Haven Community Church. And we would love, if you got a card on the way in, if you could either come to the outside here and give the card to me. I'd be happy to give you a gift after church. Or put it in the offering plate. We want to make sure we know you're here either way. So if sometimes people look at me and say, oh, she looks scary. I don't want to give it to her. So feel free to put it in the offering plate either way. So also wanted to make a note, and I forgot to bring the form in here. Maybe somebody can go out to the Bell Cafe and get me the visitor sign-up sheet out there. That'd be great. Or not the visitor, membership. If you're interested in membership or learning more about Haven, either way, right after church today, we're having our quarterly coffee and donut session right out here in the Bell Cafe. Head out this way. It's a very informal opportunity for you to talk to some of the ministry leaders, to learn a little bit more about Haven Community Church, and to eat some donuts and coffee. So please take advantage of that. Also, if you're in, you can learn about membership. We're going to be having our next membership class on January 26th after church. So that's, what, 2 weeks from today. And if you want to know more about that, you can tell that out here. And I'm going to have the little sheet pass around. If you're interested in signing up for that, that'd be great. Something we neglected to mention the first Sunday we were here after the new year, and I wanted to make sure everyone knew it today, especially parents of Sunday school. We have switched rooms, Sunday school rooms, for age groups. So right now, it used to be, well, I'll tell you what it is. Pre-K to second grade is now over on this side. And third to fifth is now on this side. So if anybody got confused, we apologize, but make a note of that going forward. Several people had signed up to help out administratively. In addition to having the coffee and donuts, we're going to have a little session for those people. So if you said you were interested, please stay after and see me. And I would love to have as many helpers as I could for that effort. Another announcement, you may have seen out on the lounge side a bunch of letters. Those are the year-end tax letters. Jim has put them out there for the next 2 weeks. So if you are here and you can go out that way and pick up your letter, it'll save on mailing for the church, and you can pick it up early. Okay, two more things. In terms of, you can read your sheet here and see some things that are coming that are not right away, but check them out. But a couple things that are coming right away. Paris Foundation is next Sunday. So if you have things that you're supplying or you need questions, see Bonnie or Katie about that. And then, I don't know, did you want to say anything, Joanne? Yeah, come on up here. Thank you. No, that's not it. That's okay.
I just want to say a huge thank you and just how blessed this congregation is and all the people that were at the shelter. Everybody just did an amazing job, and I want to just say thank you and a huge round of applause for everybody. Just truly blessing you all are amazing, and that's everybody just, I'm just overwhelmed, and that's,
Well, I will say we served record numbers of people at the shelter this week. You know, the frigid cold at the beginning of the at the week, just we were at 33, 34 a night. So that was a pretty big accomplishment. So thank you, everybody, for that. I think those are all the announcements. Does anybody have anything else? No? Oh, right here, Bobby. Okay, so make a note of that. If you're plugging in off and on to the women's Bible study, it's going to be breaking for a few weeks, and we'll get more information after that. Okay, great. Well, welcome, everybody, and enjoy the worship here.
All right, let's stand up. Everybody stand up. Get on up. Let me do a little James Brown. Get on up. Okay, all right. Sounds like we're a little lethargic. I think some of us are frozen a little bit. Used to talk about some people in church being the frozen chosen, right? So what I want you to do right now is just greet somebody around you and just say hey. Go ahead, say hey to somebody. You haven't seen? As you get back, I want you to just, hopefully you got a hold of somebody you didn't see before. Also, my wife has been working all night and then has a whole crew that's going to be serving today. So she's not here. So if anybody sees a little guy that looks just like me, make sure he's in here.
He's back there.
Oh, there he is. Good. All right. Make sure he's chained down and not tearing up anything.
Right. There's a stunt double right there.
That's right.
Well, Keith, we need surrogate parents.
That's right. All right, let's open with prayer, man. A little bit further with prayer. Lord God, we just come to you now. What a bunch of crazy weeks from Christmas. The week before Christmas, it was 60, then it got really cold, then it got really, really cold, then we had a new year and it got colder, and then it got really warm, and we don't really have a clue what we're doing. And I don't know what the clothes to put on, I don't know how to act. But whatever it is, God, we know that you're in control of everything, and that the one thing that we do know is that we can take absolutely everything to you, and that we can lay it all down, and that you will connect to us. Lord, as we start this new series called I Don't Have a Clue, I Have No Clue, just to help bring you closer to our lives more than ever before, and let us just set everything aside this weekend. I know within this church there are some people right now dealing with a lot of hurt. And loss. And God, I just want you to touch their hearts and just be who you are for them, their Savior and their God. And for that, we give you praise. Amen.
Oh, joy to say, your will, your way. It will be my joy to say, your will, your way. It will be my joy to say, your will, your way, always. From the heights, I will bring a sacrifice. And with these hands lifted high, hear my song, hear my cry. I will bring a sacrifice. I will bring a sacrifice.
All right, let's get it together.
Lay me down, I'm not my own. I belong to you alone. Lay me down, lay me down. Oh, and on my heart, this much is true. There's no lies apart from you. Lay me down, lay me down.
Come on, get this hands going. Don't be late.
Letting go of my pride, giving up all my rights. Take this light and let it shine, shine, shine. Take this light and let it shine. Yeah.
I lay me down. I'm not my own. I belong.
It will be my joy to say,
your will, your way.
It will be my joy to say,
your will,
your way. It will be my joy to say,
your will,
your way, always.
All right, hear it out.
It will be my joy.
Lay me down.
All right, before you sit down, I just want you to go ahead. Rodney Guyverson just kind of fainted or collapsed here. And we got some people. One of the cool things is we got a lot of people who work in medical staff here. And they're dealing with him right now. It seems like he's going to be okay. But we just want to lift him in prayer right now, okay? So let's do that. Lord God, we just thank you for your presence here. We thank you that you love us. And we thank you that right now, God, you're ministering to Rodney. We know he's just such a loving guy and would give anything. And we're just thankful for his presence here. And thank you for everybody here who is ministering your healing to him and just helping him. Whatever's going on, God, we just know that you are the great physician. We ask that you go ahead and touch him and heal his body and just get him strong and right back up. For that, we give you praise in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I think I printed. And also, they're going to be sitting out here, so if you're going to get to the Sunday school and stay away from that area, that'd be awesome.
Morning. We're certainly reminded of the power of prayer and the need for prayer. Carol Henson sent me a text just basically as I was walking in the building. She'd like us to remember her sister Susan, who we have prayed for before. She's been hospitalized with a high temperature and infection. She receives dialysis, so there's some concern that the infection might be from the port for the dialysis. And of course, we want to remember Jenny Smith and family on the loss of her daughter Nikki, and especially for the children. Katie Ray has requested prayer for her 80-year-old grandmother, who's Violet Mast, who's having serious surgery on January the 23rd. She wants to pray for a fast recovery and that they will not find any cancer. The Edwards family has requested prayer. Keith's company has lost the contract for the shop that he works in, and there's a possibility the new company won't keep all of the current employees. And so they're praying that he will be able to keep his job through this transition. Taylor Kay has requested prayer for Chester, who's getting worse each day. He's enjoying life as it is, but he would like us to keep him in our prayers. And someone has requested prayer for Trudy and her husband, Terry. Trudy has a bad sinus infection, and Terry's having problems with his arm. June has requested prayer for the Alexander family. Her husband's sister passed away on Friday, so she'd like us to remember them in prayer. Dakota Snyder's requested prayer that her friend's mom will be happy in heaven. And someone else, one of the teens, has requested prayer that their mom will find God in her life. And I'd ask you to remember my family. We had a home invasion at 2 o'clock this morning. Everyone's pretty upset, and we have not had a whole lot of sleep since then. There's no way of knowing who did it, but they made out with quite a bit of money. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like that's something that we normally have in the house, and we don't. But Thomas did, and it was money he could ill afford to lose. So if you'd remember them, they're trying to get some rest, and everybody's a little bit on edge right now. On the positive side, and that's the way I usually start, we're thankful for all who've ministered this week to the homeless through the rotating shelter. It's a real ministry. It's a real witness to the community. And I just want to thank you all and thank the Lord that we have people who are willing to step out and be of a ministry to to others. Let's go to the Lord this morning in prayer. Father, we are mindful that there are many things going on in this world, individually, people within the congregation. We think of Rodney out there in the foyer right now. We pray that you'll be with him, be with those who are ministering to him. We think family of the Nikki Watts' family, Father. Pray that you'll be with her mother, Jenny, and you'll be with the children. Help us to find ways that we can love them and show them your love and give them strength as they go through this time. We pray, Father, for the Alexander family as he has lost his sister. We pray that you'll minister to them. We think of all the other requests that we've seen here this morning, people in the hospital with bad infections, people facing surgery this week, people who are reaching the end of life. And we pray, Father, that in each one of those situations that you will give healing and comfort and that you will direct us and help us that we may be you to them. Help us not to just think about it and pray for it right now, but to continue to pray and to, if we can, find ways that we can minister comfort to those situations. We pray, Father, that as we are gathered here this morning and as we are celebrating a new year and a new year in the life of this church, that you will help us to realize that we will have no power to go through this year without leaning on you, and that you'll help us as individuals to look to you for guidance as we go through this year, and that you'll look as that we as a congregation will look to you for how you want us to conduct ourselves and to move on in 2014. We pray this morning that as we listen to the words that you have given Jack, that we will be encouraged and that we will be challenged. The encouragement is great, but Father, we need a challenge that will get us to reach and go beyond what we have experienced and what we feel, maybe even feel comfortable doing. We pray, Father, that you'll help us this morning as we continue to worship. Help us to be able to focus, not have any distractions. And we pray that as we give our tithes and offerings this morning, that we will give cheerfully. And we ask all of these things in thy name. Amen.
I just felt led to say something real quick. There's just a weightiness of like pain and hurt right now that that God has just put on my heart to lift up in prayer real quick. Even Abraham and Moses and the disciples felt that God forsaked them. They felt that God had left them and abandoned them. But what I've learned, through short period of time is that God never leaves us or forsakes us. It says so in the Bible that he is always with us, that he never leaves us or forsakes us. So whatever anyone in this room is going through, he's going to get you through it. And there's nothing that God can't do. So I just want to lift that up in prayer real quick, if that's okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for everyone in this room right now, Lord God. I just wanted to pray for anyone that is in physical pain or emotional pain, dealing with deaths or disease, Lord God. I just pray that you would heal those people right now, Lord God, in this room as we speak, and lift up your holy name, Lord God, because you're the only one that can get them through this. And just give them the comfort to know that you are never going to leave them or forsake them. In your name we pray. Amen. Turns into death. Where are you? much I don't know. Give me strength when I am weak. Open my eyes so I can see. I need you. Show me where to go. I'm lost. There's so much I don't know. Give me strength when I am weak. Open my eyes so I can see. So I can see.
I got to hold one of the cutest little babies ever during that song. It was great. I was going to preach with her there. Can you go to my office and get my scripture? I left everything in there on my table. There you go.
All right.
How you doing? Crazy, isn't it? I like stuff just throws off. I mean, but how good that he wasn't at home or somewhere else, that he was right here where I was joking with him out there. Rod seems to be doing fine, but I was out there joking with him. There was all these pretty nurses and nurse practitioners and stuff out there. I said, man, I said, you got better help here, and they're certainly better looking than they will when you get on the ambulance. And he kind of laughed and went on. But just awesome that we have, you know, that's kind of how the family of God works, right? So, all right, we're going to put the scripture lesson up here. Jill's getting some stuff for me right now, but we're going to go ahead. Here she comes. All right, so if we'll pull that up there, Melinda. We are going to our new series this week. Thank you, Jill. Our new series is going to be based about what I don't know. Are you excited about that? I know you're shocked that there's some things I don't know, but there are some things that I do not know. There's a lot of things I do not know, and a lot of things that you don't know either. But it's going to come to us from 2 Timothy, verse 1, and we're going to be spending several weeks on this. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, and verses 9 through 12, primarily. So here we go. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am, yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Okay, you ready? That's where we're going for the next couple weeks. Are you good? Okay, it doesn't matter whether you do or not. That's where we're headed. So, hopefully you have your sheet out with you, your bulletin. If you're visiting with us today and you've got one of those smartphones, you can go ahead and hit that QR code, and that'll take you to our Haven Facebook page, so you can put stuff on there. It'll be cool. So that's an incredible scripture, a really cool scripture. And but more important than the scripture is what it means and what it stands for as incredible. So we are going to spend several weeks talking about who God is, what we believe about him, and how that affects who I am or who I should be. Before I get further into this, I just want to say a couple things. As I said, we do have some people really dealing with a lot of loss. I know Dina lost her grandmother this week, Jenny, her daughter. And Sarah Greer's mom, Nancy, right? Correct? Nancy is on hospice. and dealing with cancer. So a lot of loss going on in our church family right now. So we need to lift one another up in the midst of that. So I just want to lift that up. Another thing is you got to see Joanne and Debbie also. Their leadership with the rotating shelter has been awesome. And they have gone many sleepless nights. So if they fall asleep in church, just nudge them. Don't hit them. And don't take a picture of them and post it on our Facebook page, okay? All right. You know, in looking at this is a really cool verse, as I said. And what's neat about it, in the Greek, there is no punctuation. It is one long run-on sentence. Because the Apostle Paul is excited about telling who God is for him. Paul is in prison in Rome when we reach this point. And this is the second time that Paul is in prison. You can take a look here. I think I have a picture of Paul in prison. Paul's in prison in Rome. And this is the second time. The first time, Paul had kind of like this really, it was kind of a country club experience. It was really easy. This time he's in prison and he's in chains. He's chained like an animal. And the first time he got to have visitors who came. This time they've pretty much put him in solitary confinement, chained him, but allowed him to write letters. And during this time, he's writing to Timothy, who was kind of like his mentee, the person, his apprentice. And and Timothy had connected with him and had a lot of concern for him and his predicament. But Paul goes ahead and changes us around and says, no, don't cry for me. I'm cool. I'm good. This is great. And, you know, what I learn about this is that it's one thing to receive the blessings from God and to really be cool with God when everything's hunky-dory, when everything's really cool, when life is going well. It's another thing when we begin to receive the blessings of God and hold tight to our faith in Christ when everything is horrible and everything is suffering. And that's what Paul is telling us here. You know, in my life, what I've realized is even though I don't enjoy it during suffering, my faith becomes more real in the midst of those sufferings. And there's some things that I want to share with you. What do you really know? And what do I really know? And that's the first on your bulletin sheet. There are things I know about how God works that will be challenged if I live long enough. I have certain things in my mind that I believe about God. And what I find out is the longer I live, the more of those that God doesn't fit in the nice box that I put together. I figure God is good. I serve him. He should bless me in all areas of my life. And then he does. But then when something happens, I go, where are you, God? What happened to you, Lord? This is, you know, you forget. Here I am. I'm Jack. Let me say, forget that. Reverend Cohen, remember, that's what I do for you. And so, Lord, shouldn't you come through a little bit better in that area? Anybody done that? I want you to respond with me today. Anybody done that? Anybody been there? Okay, there we go. Good. I want to make sure everybody has a pulse and is moving along today. So there are tragedies that happen in my life, and I may know that God is good. I may say God is good, but when those tragedies happen in life, I'm not sure that I really know God is good. When I live in these areas and I struggle with these different areas, there are things I think I know. I like God systematically in a nice area, in a nice box where I can say, oh, this is God, that's not God. I like that in my life. If you're like me, we love to compartmentalize things that exist. And, you know, I have a confession. Sometimes I don't know what I believe, or what I believe doesn't make sense with what I say I believe and how I react to it. Anybody in that boat with me? Okay, because when I was 8, you know, I'm going to be 43 years old this year. I know you're in shock because I look much younger. And don't I? Okay. We need to get like a like button on the video so people can go like and we can have it pop up here. But when I was 18 years old, I knew everything. Anybody have any 18-year-olds? Anybody 18? Just to tell you, by the time you go from 18 to 43, you will learn there's a lot you do not know. a lot. And you guys remember that when you knew absolutely everything? And you said, when I get out of here, I'm going to, and I'm going to know how to. And life didn't work that way, did it? And, you know, I can even remember in my seminary in systematic theology, it gave us a compartmentalized God. It was good to help me share my faith, but sometimes God doesn't work in my system. Matter of fact, most of the time God doesn't work in my system. The older I get, the less he does work in my system. And, you know, I remember the days of door-to-door ministry? Anybody ever done that? We did that as a church, and it was one of the most painful experiences that I've ever experienced in my life. You know, you would have people who would train you and say, here's the things you ask, and do you believe that the Bible is relevant? Yes. Well, let me tell you about Jesus. And you're like, and then everything works well until you have the one person who knows just enough scripture to mess with you and go off script. And when that person begins to add or ask or adjust something that is not on the script that you practice, it throws you all off majorly. And you know, I kind of looked at some of this, and I had a roommate and a friend in college, because remember, I was 18, 19, I knew everything, and I had my faith compartmentalized, and I could do this when I wanted to, and I understood what God was here. And we went out one night, and we were coming home, and he and I got into a almost fistfight argument about why he should believe in God. Because I knew I was right, and I knew that he was completely wrong, and I still believe that, but the way I went about it wasn't very good. And the interesting thing, and we were in West Virginia, and so he asked me a question, and he said, well, are you really telling me Methuselah lived almost 1,000 years? And that wasn't in my list of stuff. You know, and I didn't know Methuselah was some cousin in West Virginia or not. I wasn't sure. But, and then I said, oh, that guy, yes. And, you know, so I went through this whole thing, and we were yelling at each other. And actually, I was doing most of the yelling, because I knew everything at that moment. And it didn't fit with my script or my own personal faith. Door-to-door evangelism is a painful experience. Even sometimes, you know, you are sure of what you believe, but then when you run into that one person who has just a little biblical knowledge that you don't, and they ask you a question, you go, huh? It's not a comfortable place, and it begins to test you in a different way. This week, Melissa and I got a chance to go to New York. We got a couple days away. It's really good to go away, and if you want to see whatever. Wednesday, when it was still really, really cold, I was picking up my car in the parking garage, and all of a sudden, the Naked Cowboy came by me. Anybody know the Naked Cowboy? He has underwear on, cowboy boots, a cowboy hat, and a guitar. Remember how cold it was the other day? Yeah, okay. He walks by, and I'm like, what the? You know, and this lady goes, only in New York, you know. But it was one of those experiences. And Melissa and I, you know, it's good when we can get away together, because it happens so infrequently. And so we got away together, and we wanted to do something the week before, and we've gone to shows and stuff, so I said, well, let's kind of make, we were trying to make this a bucket list, and actually, because of some of the experiences, I'm going to do a sermon one time if the church was like the Big Apple, and there's all kinds of things like that. So I had put in online to get tickets for the David Letterman show, because it was easy to do, and you just had to ask a question, and he called, I missed him, last Sunday, he called me again, I answered a question, it was a real tough question, like, what instrument does band leader Paul Schaefer play? Keyboards. I was like, cool. I got that one. They're like, great, you have tickets. You're on Matthew's gold list. I'm on the gold list. It was a goal. So we go, and they have everything systematically organized. You walk in, you go up, you stand in a line, they give you tickets, you go in a line, you talk to somebody, and they go ahead and do something. So we get our tickets, and we go, now I want to share with you, I want to show you something, I'm going to show you a brief video clip, about 10 seconds, and then I'm going to show you a picture, and I want you to see something. Okay, go ahead, Melinda. Everybody take a look here. Now you missed it, didn't you? Show it, show the picture. Get the picture there? I did not Photoshop that. You see me and Melissa? Right down by the CBSI? We walk up in this line. You know, you're all organized. Everybody's wrapped up like Nanook in the North and like walking up. And we walk up and I look up and I see the girl with the tag, has her name and has where she's from. And it says Bel Air, Maryland. So you know me. I start talking, and Melissa's looking at the number of our ticket. Well, we're getting ready to get our tickets, and we're sitting there, and I said to her, I said, oh, Bel Air, Maryland. We live in Cecil County. We're across the bridge. We start talking. She goes, oh, okay. So she reaches in the drawer. She gets the tickets. She puts these little green stickers on the back, signs them, gives them back to us. As we're walking back to go out into this the Narthex kind of area, the gathering area where they have they have people standing there freezing. We're in there, and we have our tickets. And Melissa's looking at the number and tickets and says, if we had gotten here earlier, we would have got better seats. And I said, well, it's an experience. We'll go. We'll have fun. We'll do this. So we go. We're standing there, and they said, what's on anything on the back of your tickets? And they look, and this one girl goes, okay, everybody stay here. You two, points at me and Melissa, come with me. I was like, okay. So we walk outside. I'm like, are we getting thrown out already? So we walk out, and we go, and we stand. And as we sit there and stand, she says, I don't know what you did, but the person there really likes you. And I was like, well, how can they not? And she says, so here's what you're going to do. You have been selected to be audience leaders. I was like, woo, yay me. So we're going through this, and she goes, are you really excited? And I wasn't, but I am now. And I'm like, yeah. You know, you put on that fake excitement, like, oh, cool, yeah. So I'm going through this kind of fake excitement. And long story short, she said, what ends up happening is you guys are going to sit within the first three sections right in front of David Letterman. I was like, cool. And so that's what happened. I was the second row, four seat in. And Melissa was fifth seat in, and you got to see us right there. Look at me. And I was actually going like this, but they blocked me out by ScarJo, Scarlett Johansson. Can you believe they blocked me out doing this? But the system of things, what I realized is here's a systematic thing. Melissa, I think, posted. Believe it or not, I'm going to be on David Letterman because my husband is a complete imbecile. And what I started looking at is, as a system, there I was just headed one place, and it was going to happen where I was going to sit wherever. But I just believe God works things out, you know. Even something minuscule as me sitting in the second row of David Letterman. Of course, I put it on Facebook and made everybody stay up and watch me like go by that quick. My friend from Chicago sent me something that's like, really, like one. Here's your 1/15th minute of fame. But it's good. You know, so that's one thing I know about God. How God works, it changes in the way I live. I couldn't have planned out to have better seats at that show. And there's more I want to talk about that in a couple weeks. The next thing is, I always thought getting closer to God meant knowing facts about God. Just knowing things about God. And what I find out is, it's okay. What I find out is, at times, it's hard to just know facts about God when I see things that don't seem to match up with the way I feel about God. When I feel that God is good and loving, and then I have to go ahead and do a funeral for someone whose kid died. Or when I have to go ahead and walk into a room where people who had had showers and everything have a stillborn child. How do I reconcile God's faithfulness and when I don't see it in my life? At times. Because what I find out is this number two, there's another section of this. We don't need a faith that works when we have the answers, but we need ones that help us stand with God when we don't have a clue what it's about. That's what Paul kind of tells us here. And the third thing is one of the things I found out that I think is really interesting, Paul knew exactly that. And the question that I want to ask in the series is is it possible to have complete confidence and trust in God, even when I don't understand what's going on around me. Paul does just that. Paul was brilliant and explains that to the early church here. Paul knew what he believed, but more importantly, let me show you what Paul really did. This is number three. It's not what Paul believes, but he believes in whom. Let's look at this verse again from Scripture, from 1 Timothy chapter 12. If you look at this, it's printed in your bulletin. It says, he says he's suffering, he's dealing with, and he says, that is why I'm suffering as I am, yet I'm not ashamed. I'm not upset because I know what? Whom I have believed. It's not a thing that he believes in. I'm going to tell you, if you put faith in me, or you put faith in a doctrine, you put faith in an ideology, it will let you down. You put faith in him, he won't. It's a whom, not a what, that he puts his faith in. Don't you want faith like that? Don't you? Does anybody here want faith like that? That when your circumstances just stink, that they're the worst circumstances that could ever happen. It's the biggest nightmare you've ever experienced. And I know people here are going through that right now and have gone through that, that you don't want to say, well, but I thought and my understanding of God was that this and that fails you. You want something solid and you want to recognize that even if I don't understand, I still will stand with him. That's what I want. Notice he doesn't say it's what he has. Confidence is not a circumstance based off a circumstance or situation. It's in Jesus. I know whom I have believed in. Paul's life changed. You know, before Paul had his conversion experience, it was in things. It was in a doctrine of Judaism. It was in his Roman citizenship. Paul, throughout the scripture, gives a long list of things that he is good with. He said, I was a Jew of all Jews. I was really good. He said, I was a Roman citizen. I had this, I had that. He said, but I consider all that lost for the sake of knowing him. Knowing him, not becoming a Christian, but knowing Jesus. And so, as we look at this, Stephen Furtick, who's become one of my favorite pastors, said this one time, revelation is not something you measure, it's someone you meet. It's not something you measure, it's someone that you meet, and it's in Jesus Christ. What you believe will be challenged. Who you believe in does not change when we look at that. You know, so often we look at truth as an ideology rather than truth being a person. The scripture tells us in 1 John, we saw the one full of glory and grace and truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the what? The truth and the life. The truth is not a concept. Truth is a person. And his name is Jesus. And so truth doesn't change when we put our faith in him. It changes when we put it in something or some ideology that we have. When we do that, what we recognize is I may not know what's going to happen in my relationships. I may not know what is going to happen with my job. I may not know what's going to happen with my health, but I know who I trust in. And I know I can be strong even when I'm weak. Sadly, and many times, our Christianity becomes arrogant when we need to know everything before trusting in God. We give, I call it the Jacob prayer, because Jacob in the Old Testament, right before he's getting ready to go, he had a bad history. And he gets to this prayer and he says, God, I'll tell you, if you will be with me, right when he's at, when he builds Bethel, when the angels, Jacob's ladder, that kind of, he says, I'm going to tell you, if you will bless me, if you will do this, if you will do that, then you'll be my God and I'll praise you. And so many times I live my life in Jacob prayers. God, I believe you. God, I trust you. If you'll just take care of this, if you'll do that. We may not say it in that language, but we believe that God does certain things and works certain ways, and when he doesn't, then we have a problem with it. We have a problem with him because our faith is in what we think we know about God rather than who he really is. And so as we continue today, I want to look at, I don't know how. I don't know how to not know what I know about God. And I want to share this. In planning for a funeral this week, this came to my mind, and I just wanted to share it with you. I didn't plan on doing it early in the week. It just came to me. And I want to go to this verse from the Amplified version of the Bible. It's from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. That's why I have Pro 3, 5, 6 factor. And that's how we do this. And I want to share this because I believe this is one of the most important verses to put to our lives. And it's from the Amplified version. which says, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight and understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. How do we respond when we don't know how to feel? How do we respond when it doesn't make sense? How do we respond when our situation does not equal what we believe God should be doing for us? This verse right here. First thing is we need to accept the things we don't understand. Isn't that hard in this digital, technological, I can Google it in a second and know it? You know, one time I was doing some game online, like it was like one of those Facebook games, and it was a trivia game, and I had another window open so I could pop up the answer real quick and put it in. How many of you ever cheated on Words with Friends? Yes, exactly. You guys will cheat with that. You have that little app that helps you cheat, and you're like, here's the letters. Boom, and you hit it, and you're like, and you put in some word that anti-disestablishmentarianism. People are like, where the heck did that come from? So, oh, I know that word. I use it all the time. We live in this time where we just boom, 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 and everything's right there. And so we have more problem than ever accepting the things we don't understand. When tragedy strikes us, so many begin to waver in the faith, and we start to question God. We ask all kinds of questions like, where are you, God? If you're powerful, why didn't that happen? We begin to waver because we don't have our faith in him. We have our faith in stuff. You know, the scripture is very clear and tells us my ways are not your ways, and I don't like that. It's like when I was younger, my parents, I didn't understand why they wanted me to do something, and they would say, because I said so. That was a bad answer until now you're a parent, and that's a great answer. But that, God says the same thing. My ways are not your ways. Shut up and just know that I am. Okay? Number two, hold on tight to real faith in Jesus. What does this say at the beginning of this section of Proverbs 3:5? It says, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. When our worlds get turned upside down, when tragedy that is senseless occurs, when loved ones die, when we have illnesses that don't make sense, when our hearts ache and we feel like they're going to break, and when the storms of life rock us, we need to lean on and trust in God. Not only when it's good. You know when it's good, like when you just had a great worship service, you're like, oh, me and Jesus, woo, yeah, yeah, we're good, yeah. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, the chains are gone, until you're chained. And then when you're chained, you go, why are my chains here, God? Where's that amazing grace? Your chains, they may put you in chains here, but he's set you free. And as I read the scripture, it says, if the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed. Nothing can bind you if you put your faith in him. Hold on tight to real faith in Jesus. Hebrews 11 tells us faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain to do what we do not see. We would like it better. Faith is exactly what I see and what I know. That's easier, isn't it? Proverbs, so hold on to your faith. Number three, don't go your own way. In all your ways, know, recognize, acknowledge him. Proverbs 14:12 tells us there's a path that may seem right to someone, but that path ends in death and destruction. So many of us, after we give God a chance, you know, just real quick, humor me. How many of you have ever given God a tryout? You know what I mean? Like you give him a little test and say, okay, God, here you go. If you do this, then I'm going to believe that you're there. But here you go. Welcome to spring training at Cohen Land, Jack. Hey, God, I'm going to go ahead and let you go ahead and just have a little test. And we'll see if you bat 1,000. If you do, then you're on the team. And so many times that happens. And when we don't see that work out, a lot of times I know people who just go their own way. Say, all right, I gave him a test. He didn't come through. Done, God. We need to not go our own way. You know, Satan wants to pull on us and to distract us. From the beginning of time, he's tried to pull us away. And the last thing I want to share here with you in this section of scripture, everybody okay? So we have accept the things we don't understand, hold on tight to real faith in Jesus, don't go your own way. And the last one is God will get you through this. He will. Not in your time. I'm going to tell you right now, God will not. Look at the person next to you and say, God will not. Oh, that was pretty lame. Do it again. God will not. God will not do it on your timetable. Never, ever, 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 ever will he do it on your timetable. And I got to tell you, that really stinks because I got a good timetable. And I just really wish God would get on board with my timetable. It would be a lot easier for me. You know, so many times in tragedies, we just are just devastated. But he's the only one that can get us through anything. He's the God of the mountain. There used to be an old song, the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. Anybody remember that song? Might just have you break into song. Okay, so. All right. He will direct and make straight and plain your paths. God wants to straighten out that. It's going on in your life. So give me a clue. I need a clue. I'm pretty dumb. I need a clue. First thing I need to recognize is this. Trusting in God is not an issue. As I look at this more, trusting in God is not really an issue of me trying to believe something, but I really believe it's the fact that I don't have as dynamic of a relationship with God as I should. Let me say that again. I think sometimes when I struggle with this, fully trusting in God is not about that the thing failed me as much as I don't have a dynamic, overflowing relationship with God. Here's Paul. He's in prison. He's in a Roman prison. It's not a good thing. He knows what the outcome may be. Death. You go against Caesar, it's death. And so it's not a good outlook for him. And Timothy is concerned, and he's writing to him in concern and nature. Paul's like, hey, this is why I'm suffering. I was called to be an apostle of Christ. I am called to be a herald of that. I am thrilled with this. This is awesome. And he goes through this whole thing. This is the gospel. This is what I'm here for. This is what we should be committed to. Yay. How many of you, if you were chained and facing death, would go, yay, God? Not many of us. And so he had such an intense relationship and dynamic relationship with God that we have this qualification of belief that it's not in the situation, but in him. And Paul displays that time and time again. And I want to give you an example of faith like this. I know I'm bouncing around. Here we go. Luke chapter 6, verse 47 through 49. You know this probably pretty well. It is the wise and foolish builders. It says, as for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. Verse 48. They are like a man building a house, who dug down deep and laid a foundation on the rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck the house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and destruction was complete. Now, anybody ever heard a sermon on that? Okay, I'm not going to give you a full one. I'm just going to touch on something that's jumped out to me. One of the things I see about this is these men are not really different. They're not really different. They are both built in the same place because the same storm took them both out. The construction material, you know, if you see some people, like I've seen this one picture where it has this rock and it's up on a mountain and you have this little sandcastle. God didn't say, it's not the three little pigs building here, you know, one on a straw and one on a brick. No, they had same building material. The difference is, one, the first man comes to Jesus. Look at that again. Verse 48. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep in the rock. Verse 47. As for everyone who what? Comes to me. Okay? They are like the man who built his house down in the rock. If you go to verse 49, but the one who hears my words and does not put them in practice. Notice he did not come to Jesus. The difference is not the building material, but the action and the commitment of the person to be where he needed to be. That makes sense to anybody? Okay. If not, I'll do another sermon on it because we don't have a lot of time to do all that other stuff. There are so many people broken in their faith because of putting faith in something rather than putting it in the someone who is Jesus. If you are struggling and broken in this walk, or you're feeling distant, first thing you need to do is come to Jesus. He will meet you right where you are, but he loves you way too much than to leave you that way. You know, the second thing is this. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, if your faith is in a thing, the thing will build you up and it will let you down. There's, as I've said before, there's a lot of stuff I don't know. Like, I don't know calculus. Anybody know calculus? Yeah. Anybody? What is it, a radian? Is that right? Okay, that's trig. See, I told you I didn't know anything about it. I don't know much about chemistry. I think I could probably help a baby be born after five of them. I realize, but you know, one of the things is, when I had little kids, when they were all real little, I thought I knew about parenting. Now I have teenagers. Learn a lot more. It was so much easier when you could say, no, you're bad, get in your playpen. I tried to bring the playpen out now, but it's hard to get Jacob in there now, you know. He just keeps climbing out, picking back in, you know. Whole different ball game. And you know what I'm told? I'm told that when they get grown and young adults and on their own, you learn a lot more. You know, my dad became really dumb from age 10 to about 17. And then he became really smart by the time I was in my 20s. And he's pretty intelligent right now, you know. And so I don't know a lot about some of these things, and I realize there's some things I don't know unless I experience it. And, you know, that's one of the struggles that I deal with. When I've put my security in all kinds of things in life, and I remember telling somebody when Jacob was about to be born, oh, well, I'm going to do this, and Melissa's going to do this because she can teach in the day, and I can do this. And the person who had several kids said, yeah, we'll see how that works out. And it didn't, because they understood, because they were there and went through the struggles. I wouldn't change parenting at all and that experience, but I've learned a lot of things now that I may do differently because of my experience that exists there. And you know, one of the other things is when I'm unsure, because I'm so unsure about the future, I'm unsure about a lot of things that I don't understand. One of the things I learn most is when I'm unsure about how the future is going to be, I look back at how God's been faithful and he brought me through that section. It's hard to do because I tell you, I get in my funks. I get in my stuff. Anybody in your stuff? Is your stuff more miserable than my stuff? Want to compare miserable stuff? Because I get pretty miserable. And most of it is brought on about what I don't understand and the fear of the unknown. Like, I don't know. I have no clue what tomorrow is going to bring. I have no clue. Yeah, I can make plans for Easter. I can make plans for this. But guess what? I don't have a clue whether I'm even going to make it to Easter. I'm cool if Jesus comes back before I got to pay all those new taxes, right? You know, I don't know what my kids are going to do in the future. I hope that they make right choices. I hope they do good things. There's some people here now. You know, you're making some bad choices in your life, and if you really want to take a step and look back and say, "This, why's my life really? When I really look at it, am I really hollow and stuff?" You can really look at your choices and look back at your choices, and you can go ahead and look at the choices that you make in the past and currently to let you know that that's going to affect you in the future. Hate to tell you. I mean, I've preached to old girlfriends before. Not a comfortable place. I preach to people I used to hang out with. Not a comfortable place. But guess what? Because God, if I stayed making those same choices that I did in the past, my present would be very different and my future would be very, very different. So why do I think the choices I made in the past that affect me now are also going to influence my future. Why don't I go ahead and look back on God, that the things that he has done for me when he's been faithful to me in the past, he's faithful to me in the present. Why do I question that he's not going to be faithful to me in the future? Because that's how God is. Jesus said, God said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God said, I am the Lord your God. I do not change. Guess who does? Me. And I need that dynamic relationship with Christ more than ever. I have Paul, who is struggling in his circumstance. You know, when he got blinded on the road to Damascus and was seeing these miracles and did that Jedi thing where he just kind of walked away from people and they stone him and he's dead and he pops back up and here I am and goes back into the city and preaches more. That's some cool stuff. That's the stuff I want to experience. But when he's in prison and when he's getting ready to die, he didn't change and say, whoa, time out. I was just joking about this Jesus thing. No, he said, I have something more valuable than all this. And his name is Jesus. You know, whatever trials you go through, if you will let God, he will use, and what I've seen, God uses my pain to help others who go through that pain, what they're going through. But if you're like me, you try to shut people out and won't let them. I saw this week, and I shared it with some people. Giant redwoods, sequoia redwoods. Anybody ever seen those? I'd love to see them sometimes. Like some grow 300 feet tall, but they have very shallow roots. And you never like walk out and see one big redwood and that's it. They're all together. And the reason why is because their root system goes across the top of the ground to go ahead and nourish and connect to the rich soil and the moisture. And what they do, they grow together and intertwine together so that when the winds come and the storms come, that they aren't just out there by themselves and topple over. They're interlocked together as giant redwoods. So when the winds come, they sway together. They move together. They strong together. And this is what I believe, call me crazy, is what I believe God wants for the church. So many times we walk in with our Sunday best or our Sunday worst, whatever you feel like wearing, and you come in and everything's wonderful and hunky-dory. And I know that it's not. But you know what you need to do? You need to be redwoods and grow together and strong together. You know what? You've got problems. Lean on somebody. Remember that old song, Lean on Me, right? When you're not strong. You'll clap to that one, won't you? We do. We need to lean on one another. No Christian is an island. If you are, you're going to be sunk here pretty soon. We need each other. God is amazing. Paul said, I'm thrilled that I'm going through these trials because it's about Christ. Look at what he says again. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. And this grace was given us, Christ Jesus, before the beginning of time. But now has been revealed through the appearance of a Savior, Christ Jesus, who, my favorite part, who has destroyed death. Anybody excited about that? Guess what? Here you go. I've said this before to you. You are all going to die someday. And I'm thrilled that he destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. And this gospel, I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. That is why I'm suffering as I am, yet this is no cause for me to be ashamed because I know whom I believe. And I'm convinced that he is able to guard what he has entrusted to this day. I heard a story, and there's several of these stories, but I heard a story that was done where someone lost a ring some 40 years previous, and a guy was diving, and he found it. He found this class ring and had initials in it, and they contacted the college, and the college went and did a search of people who had those initials, and they said there was two people, and they found one. And one of the people that they found was a guy who was dying of cancer. He had lost this ring 39 years previous when he and his wife, fiance at the time, were out fishing. He got something caught, and he went like this to fling it was a pull tab. That tells you how long ago it was, a pull tab. Remember those? And I see the people shaking their heads. Some of the young kids are like, what the heck's a pull tab? Used to open cans, and he went to fling it off, and the ring went with it. His mother had given him this ring, and 39 years later, when he's dying, this Dr. Scuba Diver who found it came and brought it to him while I was dying. And I started thinking a little bit about this. This guy, you know, when he dropped the ring, he didn't have the right equipment and didn't have the right way to go ahead and find it. It took somebody, not in his time, but it took somebody 39 years later who had the proper scuba diving equipment, the proper ability to go down and find it, saw the top of the ring, started pulling it out, bring it up, clean it up, and restore it to what its use is. And I thought, that's us. Paul says he came down here for us. That many of us may be that ring at the bottom of a river covered with muck and mud and all that kind of stuff. And we can't pull ourselves out. We can't come up with a self-help program to pull ourselves out. We can't trust people to pull us out. I can't put my faith in a thing to pull me out. It takes somebody who has the right quality. His name is Jesus, who is the Son of God, who came down, who was nailed to a cross, suffered and died, who not only stayed in a tomb, but rose again and said, "This is for you, Jack, in all your dirty muck bottom." The scripture tells us in Psalm 40, "He lifted me out of the miry bog and set my feet upon a rock and made my footsteps firm." Many will see, many will hear, and many will fear, and there will be a new song. He put a new song in my mouth. I think there's some people here who need a new song. A new song of, "God, I know I'm not going to like what's going to happen in the future. I know I'm not going to like what's going on right now, but I will trust you, and I will put my faith and confidence in you." As our praise team comes forward today, I want to let you know that no matter what comes, trust in him. Trust in him. Next week, be back. We are going to unpack the first part of this where it says he has called us to live a holy life. We're going to talk about living a holy life. Anybody want to be holy? Come next week. We'll talk about that. And just hear this. It is okay not to understand everything. It's okay. Everything. If you don't understand everything, you can still follow Christ. Please stand. I'm going to open up the altars over here for you. And Wayne's going to lead us in this. Wayne and Nicole going to lead us in a song. This is Nicole's last week with us before she heads back down under, right, to Hillsongs. So we love her. We're going to hold on to her and keep her in our hearts. Definitely. And we'll look forward to seeing her when she gets back again next year at Christmas. I'm thrilled to it's been great having her here with us again. So let's just worship the Lord.
Yeah, this is Nicole's summer break. So yeah. How was your summertime, Nicole? Is it awesome?
Yeah, it's cold.
I'm going to go on vacation in Maryland this year. Awesome. Yeah, well, today's kind of bittersweet, you know. I mean, Nicole started singing with us when she was 15 years old, and she's grown just remarkable young lady here. And it's funny how Jack talked about God's time. You know, that song that we sang for offering for all you new folks to Haven, that was a song that me and Nicole wrote last year. And it was kind of a good song because she wrote it. I mean, it was a great song, but she wrote it like years before we actually did it, because it wasn't really that timing. The timing was when we did it, because that kind of gave her the strength that she had to, you know, have to go down to Australia and do what she's doing now, and know that God's with her all the time. And now we're going to do a song called Oceans, which is kind of appropriate as well, because she'll be oceans apart, you know, that's in different time zones. So, but thanks to God, we're always connected in Skype, of course, but, you know, so, technology. All right, this song is just really, when I first heard it, she kept bugging me to play the song when she came here, and I kept putting it off. She said, did you hear it yet? And I finally, you know, listened to it, and it was great, and I love the bridge of this song. So when we get to this bridge part, you know, I know it's going to be, and we're going to do it a few times, so you guys are just going to get it and just, you know, lift it up and sing it out with her. I think that would be a great way to send her off.
Feet may fail. faith will stand. So I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans arise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Presence of my Savior.
All right, high five, hug somebody on your way out. Keep Nicole in your prayers, but also keep the whole Barton family in your prayers right here. Because, you know, we love them, right? Be redwoods to each other, too, right? Okay, go forth in love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Have an awesome week in Jesus, and we'll see you next week about holy life. Later. Oh, Dave, put about your dad on Haven's Facebook page so we know. Okay.
Unfold.